Has anyone here been to Scarabray in Orkney? One of the houses? I know I didn't pilfer that from Google Images. It's an amazing place located in the sand dunes and some of the oldest stone buildings in the world. Certainly, they are the oldest known Neolithic buildings in Western Europe. At 5,000 years old, they predate the pyramids by at least 700 years. Just think, older than the pyramids, the only remaining ancient world, wonder in the world, and Scarabray's in Scotland. Yet they weren't built to honour the great pharaohs. They weren't built to honour kings. They were built by ordinary people. They were built by ordinary people to be ordinary family homes. Ordinary people just like you and me. There were families who lived, worked, talked and laughed together. They cried together too in those houses. Yet they were not famous. They were not wealthy. They were not remembered. But their buildings are still with us, showing us how people lived 5,000 years ago. People not really that different from us, just going about their ordinary lives. No one knows why Scarabray was abandoned. It was once thought that a massive storm had come up and covered the buildings, but there's no pots or pans or any of the other things that might be left if you had to leave in a hurry. So this sudden storm seems unlikely. At the time that Scarabray was built, the climate in Orkney was much more favourable than it is now. So it may have been that there was climate change. Sound familiar? Made people move to some place more favourable, where farming was better, where they could live a better life. And over time, sand has covered. Maybe there was a giant storm, only after they'd been abandoned. And then 5,000 years later, a storm did uncover them. In such an act, the ordinary houses of 5,000 years ago become the extraordinary archaeological monument that we have now. The ordinary became extraordinary. In our gospel reading this morning, Mark tells us of Jesus calling the first disciples. They are ordinary men, probably among the most ordinary people in the world. Decent, down-to-earth, hard-working fishermen, probably with no airs and graces, and I'd imagine the kind of people who'd call a spade a spade. And here they are, being called by Jesus, called to follow him, called to spread the good news, called to do, to be something extraordinary. Jesus calls them and they follow. Immediately. Think about that. They didn't hesitate. They just went. Simon and Andrew stopped what they were doing and followed Jesus. James and John stopped what they were doing and followed Jesus. They did not delay. They did not say, I've got to finish mending the nets. They did not say, I need to finish fishing so I can provide for my family. They went. Presumably, they'd heard Jesus preaching in Galilee. Although Mark's gospel puts this in such a way that it's almost like he's just started preaching and then calls the disciples, I think that's a bit unlikely. I suspect he's been preaching in the synagogues for a while, bit like me, starting off, getting his feet, working out what he's doing. Maybe not a bit like me, but never mind. I suspect they'd heard his message before, had gone to hear his preaching, and had liked what he'd heard. Because it was a positive message. It was the good news, not the bad news. I mean, it's just as well he wasn't Scottish. You are doomed. He would, though, wouldn't he? But it was the good news that the kingdom of God was near. Maybe Jesus had even seen them when he preached. Maybe they'd been the kind of people that had even talked to him after the service, a bit like some of you might come and talk to Ken and I after we've preached to find out more or criticise us, but that's fine. We all are entitled to our opinions. To find out what this good news that he was talking about was really about. So maybe they weren't unfamiliar faces to Jesus either. And he knew that they were perfect to be his first disciples. They were from around these parts, and they were probably well known to everybody around. But at the end of the day, they were just ordinary blokes being called to do an extraordinary thing, to answer Jesus' call and follow him, to become fishers of men. And he did so immediately. Completely unlike our protagonist in the Old Testament, Jonah. As we know, Jonah didn't really want to go to Nineveh. He ran away, he got on the boat, there was the big storm, they drew lots. Jonah drew the short straw, was thrown overboard, landed up in the big fish, which we often refer to as being the whale, stayed there for 3 days in the dark. Wonder what it'd be like to be in a big whale. I don't think it'd be very nice, and I think it'd be really smelly. And then he lands up on dry land and does do what God had asked him to do and goes to Nineveh after all this persuasion, shall we call it. When he goes to Nineveh, he preaches what God has sent him to preach and do what God called him to do after all. He tells the people of Nineveh to turn from their wicked ways. Otherwise, God will destroy them. And remarkably, or maybe not remarkably, because God tends to know what he's doing, the people of Nineveh listened. They turned from their evil ways and repented. And what happened next? As our reading told us, when God said that they had turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them the destruction he had threatened. God loved the people of Nineveh so much that he made sure that Jonah went to tell them to turn from their wicked ways. No matter how much he ran away, he was going to go to Nineveh whether he liked it or not. Because God knew that Jonah was the right person to do that, and no one else could do that. And God did that because he wanted to give the people of Nineveh a second chance, because everybody deserves a second chance. Because all the people of Nineveh were precious in God's eyes. God loved everybody in Nineveh, and nothing was going to stand in the way of God rescuing them, not even Jonah getting on a boat and running away. And they were saved through Jonah listening to what he was told and preaching. And the people of Nineveh listened to God's message and did repent. They put on visible signs. They covered themselves in sackcloths and ashes. These are signs of sorrow, of mourning, of rejecting what they had become and turning over a new leaf and offering themselves to God as a type of purification and cleansing, as a symbol of preparing to face a new future with God. But what about the rest of the world? Jonah was a member of God's chosen people, a people chosen by God to show the world a better way of living, to show the world how to become closer to God again. It was to Mary and Joseph, members of that chosen people, that Jesus was born and they brought him up. And Jesus preached the good news to anyone who'd listen, though his initial preaching was in Galilee, and it is a bit of a backwater even now, and at the time really was. Must have been effective, though. We're here. Must have been doing something right 2,000 years ago. But despite of his great message of God's love for all and the kingdom of God being near, Jesus needed assistance. Although he was God incarnate, he needed help to spread his word, and he starts to call the first disciples. The four mentioned in our gospel reading are just the start, but 26 hands are better than the two that Jesus had. Now, just as then, Jesus needs extra pairs of hands to spread his good news. Hands of people like you and me. Because he has a unique and special call for everybody. Everybody. It's an act of love for the world that only you can give, and only I can give, and no one else can do it. Some of us will do what Jonah did and run away. I know it's true, because I did for a very long time. Sometimes I think I'm still running. Some of us will hear God's call and go immediately, just like the fishermen. Wow, that's amazing. And I admire their courage and faith. There are many things God does and will call us to do. To feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to visit those in prison. God calls us to do these things and spread his good news and bring about his kingdom of love and grace and peace to the world. When God calls, listen. Listen. It's not easy. Sometimes he doesn't make it obvious. Other times he shouts. But remember, we all have a unique act of love for the world that only we can bring. Only you can do that for the world. Only you. God has called you to do that for him. God calls you to do that because it's only you who can be his hands in a particular place, in a particular time, in a particular situation. Because God loves everyone in the world. No matter where they come from, no matter their creed, no matter their colour, no matter their background, we are all loved equally by God. We are all precious in God's sight. Through God's love and power, we ordinary people can become extraordinary and give God's love to the world. Wherever we are and whatever we do. Let us pray. Father God, when you call us, help us to listen. When you call us, give us courage to go where you need us to be. When you call us, use our hands as your hands to show your love, grace, and peace to the world. Amen. As we leave here, may we always listen to God's voice, calling us to show his love wherever we are, to all we meet. And may the love of God be with us and remain with us all, now and forevermore.